Episode 4121, Leaning Toward Wisdom. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. Today's episode is taken from the first line that you heard these boys sing. You've drawn your circle in the sand. They are Big Head Todd and the Monsters. It is a November 3rd, 2017 release entitled New World Horizon. Today's episode will feature songs from that record. And it is $4. You heard me right. It's only $4.99 at iTunes. And if you like just straightforward rock and roll, these are your boys. High school friends in Boulder, Colorado. They formed in 1986 when they were all at the University of Colorado. And the rest, as they say, is history. Glow. That is the name of the song, the record. New World Horizon, the artist, Big Head Todd and the Monsters, $4.99 at iTunes, and presumably anywhere else that downloadable music is sold. I'm glad that you're here, glad that you clicked play. I have lifted, that's the polite way to say plagiarized, the title of today's show from that first lyric that the boys sang, You've Drawn Your Circle in the Sand. Maybe you've never done it literally, but I bet you as a kid you might have, you know, literally just drawn this line in the sand. It's an indication that, well, it could be an indication that you're not going to go any further, but it mostly is an indication for the other guy. Don't cross this line. I'll punch you in the face if you cross this line. It's a boundary, right? It's a boundary. And I'm going to draw your attention to the action person in the phrase, you've drawn your circle in the sand. Yeah, you. You've got to draw your own circle. Now, you can let other people draw the circle for you, and they will, and you know they will, but that ain't how it needs to go. Not if you're going to lean toward wisdom. And it is, after all, the tagline. I don't use the tagline nearly enough, I don't suspect. Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. I should use that more because I like it, because it's true. Drawing a circle in the sand is kind of similar to drawing a line in the sand, I suppose, except it really indicates that the boundary is not just in front of us, but that the boundary is all around us. And that's different. That's very, very different. We're drawing a circle around ourselves in the sand to indicate that we're going to protect ourselves. And the things that are in this circle, these things that are important to us, we're going to protect those things with everything we've got. I mean, that's why else draw the circle? I mean, what else does a circle represent? It represents how we are designing our life, how we want our life to go, the things that are important to us, the things that we're pursuing, and it could be anything. And the things outside that circle are the things that we want them to be outside that circle. Does it mean that they're completely unimportant? And not necessarily. You draw a circle around yourself, and your friends may be outside that circle, but they're important, but they're not in that circle in the sense that we're using it today, that circle being defined as those things that you want, those things that you hope to accomplish, those things that you want to be. So it could be anything. It could be something personal. It could be something professional. It could be that you're aspiring to some other job. It could be that you're aspiring to some promotion. It could be that you're aspiring in your education. You're aspiring to some advanced degree. It could be that you're aspiring to some certification. It could be any number of things. It's completely up to you. That's the great thing about this. You've drawn your circle in the sand. Me, I have to draw my own circle, and that was really what prompted today's show, is because these are things that I know these things, but I don't give them probably enough thought. If you stop and realize the things that are inside the circle are the things that are most important to you and that you need to viciously, and I don't mean hatefully, but I do mean viciously in the sense that you exert great energy to protect those things and to not let other people kind of shove those things aside. And basically say to you, even though nobody would ever say this to you, but basically say to you, you know, your stuff doesn't matter. Your stuff is not as important as my stuff. So I need you to do this for me. Yeah, that's what prompted today's show. It's the title track, New World Horizon. Big Head Todd and the Monsters, New World Horizon is the name of the record. New World Horizon, and they sing in the song, the lyric, the old world will fight you till your dying day. And it's true, absolutely true. When you have drawn your circle in the sand, you have basically declared the space, this area of your life, and that this is where you're going to live. This is who you're going to be, and these are the things that are important to you, and these are the things that you're going to pursue, and it is a space that defines you. Now, there's a few things here that we can talk about. It's drawn in sand, not granite, not concrete. Because as you grow and as you learn and as you mature and as we lean collectively and individually, as we lean toward wisdom, it changes. It changes. The circle that I may have in the sand today in my life looks very different. In some respects, it doesn't look so different in others, but it looks very different in some respects than the circle that I would have drawn around myself when I was 20 or when I was 30. And now that I'm no longer young, that circle looks somewhat different because there are other things that have come in that have taken precedent and priority. When I was starting out and I was a teenager, and then I was in my 20s. I was super ambitious. I'm still ambitious, but that ambition looks really different today. I was climbing. I was climbing hard and working a ton and chasing and pursuing some things that were very important to me at the time. Those were the things that were in the circle. Those things are no longer in the circle, but some other things have replaced those. And that's how it's going to be in your life. It is this space that defines you, and that is not some absolute definition that just stays in place for all time. It's an area where today you're going to take your stand. But, you know, there's a considerable amount of work that goes into even figuring that out. It's not like you can just draw some random circle in the sand. It's drawing your circle. And you've got to give that some thought, because it may be the really hard part of defining the circle that you want to draw. This is why if you're a college kid, you're struggling perhaps with what do you want to do? What do you want to major in? What do you want your life to look like prior to meeting that special someone and getting married? It's what probably racked all of our brains and trying to figure out, you know, who are they going to be? Who am I going to spend my life with? What's that going to look like? I mean, these are big, big issues. And Rhonda and I got that figured out many decades ago. So that circle looks different now. Now the protection inside that circle is Rhonda and my kids and my grandkids. They're in the circle because, well, they're a huge part of my life. The old world will fight you till your dying day is an interesting lyric from these guys as it relates to this topic of drawing our circle in the sand, because it's just absolutely true. And that old world can represent any number of things. It can represent things that you hang on to that maybe you shouldn't, things that are not, they're not beneficial, but you just, for whatever reason, you can't seem to let go. The old world can absolutely positively represent the people in your life and the influences in your life that will encroach on that circle. And this is the really big message today, because this is why I hit record on this topic today, because friends and family, even well-intended people, and I catch myself saying that quite a lot, well-intended, and I'm doing that on purpose because I'm trying to extend grace to people and give people the benefit of the doubt. So let's stick with that, shall we? Because it's just a better way to roll than to assume that people are nefarious and they're, you know, they're out to hurt you. And I really don't believe that, by the way. I believe that the people that are in your life, mostly, they don't want to hurt you, but they mostly don't care because they've got their own circle. And some people are better about imposing themselves on you than others. And those of us that aren't so gifted at imposing on others, we tend to be people who can be easily imposed upon. And while we could resent people imposing on our circle, it isn't lost on me that protecting that circle, drawing that circle, that's incumbent on us. That's us, man. That's all on us. If you feel like in your, this is absolutely positively true, and it happens to all of us, I suspect. I know it happens to me sometimes. I feel like I've drawn this circle in the sand. I feel like I've got things in order. I know what's important to me. I know where my priorities are. They're in this circle. And I feel like I've drawn this circle in the sand. But there's all these forces and there's all these impositions that come in and that crowd out the things that I would like to pursue and that I want, the things that are valuable to me. And it dawns on me, maybe I haven't drawn the circle. In my head, I feel like I have, but if it's not a visible circle to other people, and how are they going to know? They're not. I mean, you expect your friends and family and other people in your life to be clairvoyant and to know just instinctively what's important to you and not to encroach on those things? They got no way of knowing. And what is drawing your circle in the sand? What does that even mean? How do we do that? Well, I can tell you the main element of this is the protection, is the establishment of that boundary and not letting people encroach on it. That's how people know, okay, I'm going too far. I'm imposing too much. When we say no, no. Now, I'm really fond of the fact, and it is a fact, that when people make impositions on us or when people make requests of us and we say no, that is a complete sentence and it's a complete answer. And I realize that we don't often view it that way because we've got this head trash and this psychology that forces us to try to offer some explanation. And you know why we do this. We do this because we want to persuade the other person that we're justified in our refusal. Okay. Do you have to justify your refusal? Do you owe, if I were to ask you to do something and you said no to me, do you owe me an explanation? You don't. But in your head, you think you do. In your head, you're telling yourself, well, I need to let him know why. Now let's take a look at this, shall we? Let's closely examine this, and I want to provoke you to think about this. So you can live your life drawing the circle in the sand. You know what's important to you, and you know someone is making this imposition on you. They're making this request of you, and it's going to encroach. It's going to encroach on something in your boundary. Let me give you an example. let's say that you're studying hard for some certification, maybe some license, and this is important to you. But you've got other friends, and they want you to come out with them. You know, it's the age old, hey, can Johnny come out and play? And meanwhile, Johnny's got homework, and Johnny wants to do the homework. So let's assume that, because there's the circle in the sand. If you've got some certification that you're chasing or something that's important to you, something that is defining for you and far more important to you than going out with friends, but the friends pressure you, come on, you need to get out. You need, you know, blah, 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 blah. You've been imposed upon like that before. And you want to say no, but you don't want to hurt feelings. And so you don't say no. And now you're annoyed and you're frustrated. And you can even get resentful and bitter toward your friends. Well, you're the one that sacrificed the circle. They didn't. Sure, they made a request. Maybe they made an imposition. But you acquiesced. You did not say no. You did not stand up. You did not fight for the thing that was in your circle, this certification that meant so much to you and means so much to you. You didn't fight for that. And because you didn't fight for that, you can't fault your friends for thinking it's no big deal, because you treated it as though it was no big deal. The old world, it will fight you till your dying day. Big Ed Todd and the Monsters, New World Horizon. The name of the song is Damaged One. You probably got a good feel of how this record rolls right now. There's just something kind of old school about these guys. Have you heard this band, Greta Van Fleet? Group of kids out of Michigan. They sound ridiculously like Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin's not even a distant memory for these kids. They're really young. But the lead singer has awful lot Robert Plant-like kind of vibe going. Greta Van Fleet is their name. This is Big Head Todd and the Monsters, and the name of the song is Damaged One.
I was already
will be the damaged one if you do not draw your circle in the sand and then, well, protect it. Just protect it. And like I said, it can be anything in this circle. Douglas Adams wrote in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, "We demand rigidly defined areas of doubt and uncertainty." It's kind of a funny line. And if it's true, it also means that we want rigidly defined areas where there is no doubt, and we want rigidly defined areas where there is no uncertainty. And I'm basically telling you that that's what you have in this circle in the sand. You have this area of clearly defined in your mind. These are areas where you don't have any doubt. These are the things that are important to me. These are the things that matter to me. These are the things that I want to achieve and accomplish in my life. And if you let things come in and encroach on these things that are important in your life, you do end up being the damaged one. And it's your own fault. It's your own fault for not protecting those things as viciously as you should, and for not feeling so compelled to say no and just let no be a complete answer when people try to encroach on it. And they will try to encroach on it. Your friends, your family, everybody will try to encroach on it. Now, there may be these areas of your life where that's easier than other areas. I have certain areas of my life. It's just not possible. It's not possible, it's not practical, and it wouldn't even be reasonable for me to not allow some encroachment. And I'm thinking in terms of my role in church, in serving other people, and happy to do it, by the way. So I don't want to be misunderstood here. I don't view that as an encroachment on the circle, even though sometimes it does encroach on the circle, and I make the call. I make the call to be good with that or not. And I'm going to tell you 100% of the time I make the call to be good with that. No harm, no foul. So there may be the circumstances. Here's the problem. The problem is if that just kind of becomes the way of life for you, then you allow anything and everything to encroach on it. I came up, and I don't know if I stole this. I very easily could have. But I uttered this phrase for the first time in my 20s when I was running a company. And I uttered the phrase one day, and I don't remember exactly all the circumstances of it. I kind of sort of do remember, you know, there was a conversation about priorities, and there was a conversation of, I was involved in a conversation with somebody, and it was about inventory. I do remember that. And we had some old inventory, and I was taking markdowns on inventory, which is what you do in retail business. When inventory gets to be old, it doesn't grow classic. It loses value. And every time the clock ticks, it loses more value. And so as a retailer, you try to find that point in time where you take your markdown. Let's say the product was going to sell for $100. Well, you go ahead and you mark it down, and you mark it down to sell it. So you don't mark it down to like 98. I mean, you go ahead and you mark it down to 80. You just want to turn it into cash. And let's assume that cost on the thing is 70. Okay, well, $10 profit. Well, you can't survive on $10 profit, but it's better than a loss. So you take your loss and you cut and run. And I was involved in a conversation with somebody about that and was getting some pushback, as I recall, about it. And it was in my head, it was like, okay, well, you want to step over dollars to pick up pennies, and that's stupid. And I uttered this phrase, if everything is important, then nothing is important. Meaning you have to have priorities. Everything in your life cannot be a priority. It just can't. It defies the very definition of a priority. A priority is something that you give more weight to, more importance to, something that you're going to protect more viciously. Hence the circle in the sand. That's these things. These things that you have drawn this circle around that define you or would define you, these things that you're pursuing, these things that are your life, you get to choose those things. Now, you can live your life and let other people draw circles all around you. That's foolish. Don't do that. Don't do that. You are in power to draw your own circle in the sand. And you are also empowered, by the way, to put your foot out there and to erase said circle and draw a new circle. It's going to happen. There was once a circle that I had around me when I was just a young guy in college and not married. I haven't been in that circle in a long time. I mean, coming up in January of 2018, I will have been married to the same woman for 40 years. And we dated for 3 years prior to that. So I've got 43 years that the circle maybe of uncertainty and the circle of I want to meet the special someone. Okay, well, that got answered. And so the circle had to change. And it's going to be true for you too. But there need to be these rigidly defined areas where we don't have any doubt and we don't have any certainty, at least not right now, unless something changes. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. I want this certification. I want this advanced degree. I want to accomplish this. And my accomplishing this will not be enhanced by you imposing on me to try to pull me away to get me to do something else that seems innocuous to you, seems innocent to you, but it's an intrusion in my circle. And so the answer's got to be no. Now, we could go on and on and on about why some of us are so compelled to try to give an explanation for our no, as though we're trying to win this argument that you're not going to win, by the way. Offer any excuse you want. Offer any reason you want. And the other person, you might as well just say no and leave it at that. And frankly, I think we should be in a practice of even forcing people, well, why not? Just to try to drive some tension into the air. It's not a bad thing. And to just say, because I said no. Because I have the choice. You asked me a question. It warranted an answer. I gave you my answer. And there it is. I know that's hard. If you go to the website leaningtowardwisdom.com and you just type into the search box, inner critic, inner, I-N-N-E-R, inner critic, I'm sure way too much will come up. Because sometimes it's not them, sometimes it's us, right? We have met the enemy and he is us. Sometimes that's absolutely positively true. In fact, more often than not, that's true. So all of this stuff, these impositions, you know who the culprit is. You already know the answer to this. It's not them. It's you. It's us. We don't draw the line. We don't draw the circle in the sand the way we should. We don't protect the circle that we've drawn in the sand. We don't often let that circle be nearly as visible as it needs to be so people understand, oh, I get it. There's a boundary here. This is where they say no. Okay, good to know. We don't do that. I don't know why we don't do that. I've got my own head trash. You've got your own head trash. I suspect that at some point we all come to realize that we are still the 14-year-old that we once were, right? Personality-wise and all that. I mean, there is something to this hardwiring. I'm fully in agreement that environment matters and all that, but there is also something to hardwiring. I've had enough grandkids to know that. When you look at these five kids and how they were as babies, I'm talking as babies, and how they migrate as they get older, there's a lot of hardwiring there that I think is the challenge for us as parents and now as grandparents to try to get these kids who are hardwired to leverage those strengths and to not let those weaknesses destroy them. And of course, then there's all the socialization that happens to get to know one another and get to play nice with others and negotiate with others and all that stuff. The older I grow, the more I am aware, though, that we really are the kids that we once were. And for some of us, I think that can remain pretty deeply, and it can glue us. It can stick us. Yeah, we get stuck. It can glue us to some place and some time that maybe don't ideally serve us. And so we don't protect these things in the circle nearly as much as we should. We don't even think about the things in the circle as much as we should. We're too busy thinking about what other people want. We're too busy trying to please other people. We're too busy trying to satisfy other people. And we don't spend enough time even with ourselves to think about what do I most want? What can I most accomplish? Where do I feel like my talents might be the strongest? And we got to get past it. We just got to get past it so that we can be the most powerful, effective person that we can be. Name of the track is Trip. Big Head Todd and the Monsters, New World Horizon. Big Head Todd and the Monsters. Let's talk about balance, because this invariably comes up when we talk about trying to protect these things that are in the circle and making some things important and living by that adage. If everything is important, then nothing is important. And that just isn't true. So those people that say, well, you know, sweat the details, and it's all details. No, it can't all be details. I mean, some things have more weight than others. And it leads to this conversation that is rampant in everybody's life, and that's balance, balance. I don't know how you choose to think about it. I'm going to tell you over the years how I have grown to think about it. And I don't profess to have it down, but I think I understand it better than I ever have before, at least up to this point. And it's like a three-legged stool. Now, I don't know what those three legs represent for you. I'll just use what they might represent for me: faith, family, career or work, or myself, probably an easier way. And you've sat on three-legged stools before, and you can sit on a three-legged stool and have one leg up off the ground. You can do that. You can balance that. Now, it can't come up very high. If it does, then the stool goes out from under you. You can't have one leg. That ain't going to work. You're not going to balance one leg. Not very long. So if two legs come up off the ground, you're done. You're toast. So for me, balance, yes, ideally, is all three legs are on the floor at the same time. But, okay, one leg is almost always up off the floor. Hopefully just a little bit. But it's really difficult to get all three legs on the floor. And it can go something like this. Something happens at work. You didn't plan it. It's not a priority, but it's urgent. And now it becomes a priority. Now it becomes the important thing because it has some urgency to it. Well, does it mean that work is more important than your faith and family? No, but it means in that moment, that's where your focus has to go because it's urgent and you got to take care of it, right? You've got the responsibility, the burden's on you. So by putting your attention there, that means you're putting more weight on it. And so what happens? Yeah, one leg comes up off the floor. Now, maybe it only comes off the floor a little bit, and maybe it only comes up for a few minutes. But it does come up off the floor. And that's how life is. And it's this constant managing these three legs that we're on and to make sure that at all times there's two on the floor. Because if that doesn't get maintained, train wreck. We become unhinged, and life goes south, and yeah, it gets out of control in a hurry. I don't profess to know exactly how to help you manage all that. I think it does help us to have some awareness of that, and I think that speaks to the things that are inside this circle in the sand, these things that define us. And even among the things that define us, even among these things that we want to define us, even within the context of just that circle, there are these priorities. And sometimes they shift. And sometimes they move. And sometimes, yes, external circumstances warrant that we give something more attention than we would want to give it. But, okay, right now, it's the elephant in the room. So there are these impositions that come upon our circle in the sand that come from the outside, and sometimes they come from the inside. But here's the punchline to it all. You get to decide. Yeah, you. You're the one that drew the circle in the sand. You're the one that put the things inside the circle that are important to you, and you are the person who's going to have to manage those things. You can't acquiesce that to somebody else. You can't bequeath that responsibility to somebody else. It's yours. You have to own it. It's you drawing your circle in the sand. And that means that you can't resent circumstances or people who would impose on that. You have to protect that. If you don't protect that, the big question of the hour is, well, who's going to? If your career or if your dreams and aspirations, if your certifications, if your advanced degrees, if your promotions, if your relationships, if your marriage, if your kids, if your grandkids, if these things aren't important enough for you to fight for and to fend off all intruders who would come and encroach on your time and your attention, well, then who's going to do it? Just who's going to do it? You know the answer. The answer is nobody's going to do it. And the answer is going to be, it's going to be easier and easier and easier and easier for people to encroach on you and for people to lean on you to do what they want you to do. Now, whatever you got to do to get past the head trash, to be protective of those things that you know are right, those things that you want to do, those things that are your dreams and your aspirations, I mean, whatever you got to do to come to some place where you take greater ownership in those things and less ownership in those things that are inside somebody else's circle in the sand. I mean, we're not disparaging those people that are friends and those people that are family who they've got their own circle. If you can be more mindful of your own and really fight viciously for your own, do you suppose that it can give you some insights into maybe being better yourself at not unintentionally encroaching on somebody else's circle so that they can be busy doing the things that they want to do? Yeah, we all win. We all win when we can be more mindful of these kinds of things. The song is Mind, Big Head Todd and the Monsters. And we'll pot this down because the song is about halfway done. It's a long song. It's over 5 minutes long. It's got a good riff. I mean, if you like hard driving, heavy drums, heavy guitar, kind of rock and roll, then obviously this is your deal. And if you don't, well, okay. Then you have already fast-forwarded through all of the songs. I don't mind, and let's talk about courage. As we kind of wind down here toward the end of the podcast, it's worthwhile talking about courage. I very often get fascinated with buskers, and busking is street musicians, people that are out on the street playing for tips and things. I got kind of fascinated with this when I was in college at LSU, and I didn't have any experience, right? I mean, you know, kid from the suburb, you don't see buskers. But you get to college and you start seeing some busking going on around college campuses. Well, you did. I assume you still do today. And around LSU, back in the 70s, you absolutely did. And, of course, then we would take some trips down to New Orleans and all through the French Quarter. Of course, there's insane busking going on in places like that. Big cities tend to have quite a lot of busking going on. And some of these people are insanely talented. And I get real fascinated occasionally, thanks to YouTube, I get real fascinated with, I don't know, especially these young people. And it's never lost on me the courage that it takes, the conviction that it must take in yourself to just put yourself out there to do that, especially for the first time. And you think of the confidence that it demands. And as you watch some of these people, you just, man, I mean, brave, right? Really brave. I want you to think about those people. I want you to go to YouTube and just type in street musician or busking, B-U-S-K-I-N-G, or buskers or some version of it. Just go over. In fact, I'll go you one better. Go to leaningtowardwisdom.com and join the Facebook group. If you have not done that yet, then do that. Because occasionally I will throw a video up there of some busking. I did one this week, an 11-year-old girl. Crazy good. And 11. And you're like, okay, well, she's 11. I mean, she's not old enough to be fearful. Oh, contraire. I've had grandkids that were under 5 that were mortified of things like going to play soccer on a team. So don't tell me that an 11-year-old kid can't have extreme fear. But the girl's just, she's crazy good, and she's really confident. Okay, well, it's not about busking. It's about your circle in the sand, and it's about this circle that you have drawn in the sand, and it's about your courage and your confidence to maintain that, to protect that. So I'm going to kind of wind down here with an encouragement for you to be courageous, be bold. Be like the 11-year-old girl that goes out there in front of a microphone and a guitar out on the streets with her guitar case open, hoping people will throw some bucks in there. And she just owns it. She just owns it. She owns the microphone. She owns the performance. She owns the whole thing. I just can't think of a better illustration to help you understand that if she doesn't, who is? If this 11-year-old girl does not own her own performance, and if she does not own her ability and her opportunity to go out there and to try to get known and get noticed and make a few bucks and do something that she clearly is talented enough to do and something that she clearly is driven to do, okay, then who's going to do it? Is somebody going to do that for her? You think somebody's going to do that for you? Do you think that even your closest friend or the person that is closest to you in your family, do you think that they're going to protect your circle and the things in that circle as much as you would? No. Then stop expecting them to, and stop getting annoyed when they encroach on your circle, because the circle belongs to you. It's your job. It's your job, it's your duty, it's your obligation to protect it viciously. That doesn't mean you got to act vicious toward people, but it means that you don't budge. You don't budge. You think the 11-year-old busker, do you think that she's going to let somebody talk her out of that? No. She's determined. How determined are you? How determined are you to, A, think about what you want that circle to represent? How determined are you to draw that circle? And then how determined are you to protect that circle and look people in the eye and say, no, because what you are asking of me ain't in my circle. No, don't say that, because remember, no is a complete sentence.
As the clock numbers beat down one by one, now I'm staring. But then you don't remember your dreams, do you? I fell for you on a wild turn. At the last mile, I was a lost child, found, but you were mine. Wild turn. Surely, and I went 6 months without affection. Disney blind sided me with that other guy, she was drying out with delection.
They are Big Head Todd and the Monsters. Name of the song is Wipeout Turn. And boy, the line says it all. You don't remember your dreams, do you? And that's what happens when you don't draw the circle in the sand, or when you draw it and you don't protect it. You reach a point in your life where you don't remember your dreams. You don't remember your aspirations because you've given up your life to try to please everybody else in your life. And you know what? You're still going to disappoint people. They're still not going to be happy with every answer that you give and every action that you take. And everybody loses. No, I'm not saying live a selfish life. Quite the contrary. I'm saying live a life of service. But there are these things in our life that we have to protect. And I do think that we have to be vicious in protecting those things, because if we don't, we'll end up with a life that isn't the life that we most wanted. And probably not the life that was the most productive. And there it is. Episode 4121. I hope that you'll join the Facebook group. Go over to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Click on that Facebook link. That will virtually knock on the door. I will let you in. And as long as you behave yourself, I'll let you stay there. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm glad that you're here. Glad that you click play as we lean toward wisdom together. It is Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. Welcome and greetings inside the Yellow Studio. I got one more song. You knew I did. The name of the song is Room Full of Mirrors. This is a good record. You should buy it. New World Horizon by Big Head Todd and the Monsters, $4.99. I'm going to tell you another record that's just killer, absolutely killer. Aretha Franklin on Friday. That's right, just yesterday. Today I'm recording. This is Saturday, November the 11th, 2017. Aretha Franklin released a record with, it's got the big ones. I mean, it's got Natural Woman and Respect and Think and Son of a Preacher, It's just a great record. She did this with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and it's a great, great record. It's at iTunes as well, $11.99, but I'm a huge Aretha Franklin fan. This is not Aretha. This is Big Head Todd and the Monsters, and the name of the song is Room Full of Mirrors. Enjoy.
Oh,